Our speaker today, Dr. Tony Wheeler. I think he prefers that, I'm sure, right? Dr. Tony. Now, I've really personally enjoyed getting to know Tony. I think that he's got a gift when it comes to making people really process things, to making people look internal. And I think that the part of the reason that that Tony has that gift is that Tony's really recognizes that that our souls long to be made whole. I really believe that our souls long to be made whole, and that Tony believes that really Christ is the only one that can do that work. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share, Tony.
Am I supposed to? Thanks. Do I stand up here or down there? You're flexible. What's that? Okay, I'll stand right here. Uh-oh. Mess with all of Elliot's stuff. Hey, I just had a, I guess I want to start by saying I was just on the phone with Focus on the Family, and they want to align with the Institute, and they thought I was at Pepperdine University. And so when I explained to them that I wasn't at Pepperdine, in fact, I was in nowhere, Kansas, I began to weep when I started talking about Berklee College, because they don't get it. I mean, and I want for you to get it. This is an amazing place. This is a place where God is king, and you're all here to get to know the king and to give your life to him and to serve him. This is an amazing place. And so I want to just remind you of that again. I had this big message planned because I want all of you to really understand what the Institute for the Blessing is and a neat thing that God is doing. But God pulled an audible on me and doesn't want me to speak on that. And I think he wants me to remind you of that you said yes to a season in your life where you're going to get to know the King, where you're going to understand how he's wired you and how he's ordained your life to bring light into dark places. And so your time here is crucial. And I know I was here 23 years ago. Can you believe that? And we'd have guys come up here and talk to us about the importance of prayer and reading your Bible and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't get it. And so I just want to be one of those guys to remind you that this is a unique place, that you're here for a divine appointment. And I hope that as I'm gonna walk down a path today, and I think there's a certain area the Lord wants me to talk about, and that we can walk in more wholeness in relationship with Him. I want to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to you, and again in your heart, say yes to Him in the way that you did when you said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go to Haviland, Kansas. I don't know why I'm going there. It's not too sexy. It's not too exciting." But I feel called there, and I'm gonna go there. All right? Can I not say that in a friend's church? Sexy. Okay. And so again, I think the Lord just wants to for me to come and share a simple message with you, so you can say yes to Him again in as you did when you came here. All started for me when Audrey, my youngest, Audrey's in high school. She's a freshman, and she went to Mexico for a week, the over spring break. And Audrey came back, and we were sitting at the dinner table the night she got back, and she started talking to us about the state of the people in Mexico, that they have nothing to find comfort in. And she kept saying, they have nothing. They don't have a place to bathe, or they don't have a place to wash their clothes, and their food's not the greatest, and they don't have any comfort, but they're happy. And so that whole paradigm really struck her. How can they have nothing and be happy. And so as we talk some more, it hit me that here in the States, we're blessed. And we want to make sure that our blessings don't become curses. We are blessed with comfort, with safety, more so than they are in Mexico. But when our life becomes focused on, I need this stuff to make me comfortable, and when we're focused on comfort more than focused on the King, we're in trouble. So let me say that again. When we're focused on comfort and safety and position and things of the flesh, when we're focused on those more than we're focused on serving the King and saying yes to Him and doing whatever He asks us to do, when we're more focused on the comfort, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And I'm telling you, our country is in trouble in a lot of ways. And our churches are in trouble in a lot of ways because we let this thinking that comfort's the most important value in life, we let that rob us of our blessing of knowing the King and walking with Him. And so what I want to do is we all struggle with this. And I want to ask you again to explore what you're seeking in life. Are you seeking comfort? Or are you seeking the King? And how do we determine that? I had a magazine come across my desk. It's a fantastic thing for me. I shouldn't say it that way. One of the benefits of kids leaving college, and their subscriptions still come to the college. And I've told Deb, give them to me. I'll read them. And so I had this magazine called Fast Company come across my desk last week. And shared a story about the rock group Van Halen. Way too old for you guys. Van Halen, the lead singer for Van Halen was a guy named David Lee Roth. And at their heyday, Van Halen, when they went on tour, had 16 18-wheel trailers, tractor trailers, that they took around the country with them. And they would send a thick book talking about exact detail of how the staging, the electricity, the lighting, all that was supposed to be set up. And so in the middle of that document, item number 126 read that in David Lee Roth's dressing room, he had to have a bowl of M&Ms with the brown ones taken out. And so media got wind of that and thought, this guy is just a diva. But there was method to his madness, or there was reason behind what he did. When David Lee Roth would show up to an event, just huge, elaborate, hundreds of people setting it up, the first thing he would do would he would walk into his dressing room and look at the bowl of M&Ms. And if there were brown M&Ms in his bowl, he knew they didn't read the manual. He knew things weren't set up right. And so he would instantly get all the crew together and do what they call the line check, go line by line through the process, because if they didn't, people could get electrocuted and killed, or he could get killed. If he came in and saw that the brown M&Ms were gone, he knew that they had read the manual. And so they were doing all right. Well, for us as Christians, Christ is in us. What is our brown M&M standard? I think our brown M&M standard or process is how we deal with worry or stress. And so that's going to be my premise for my little message here today, is you can understand, or you can assess how well or what you're seeking in life by what you're doing with worry. If worry is moving you more toward your flesh, towards striving, then you're in trouble. If worry is moving you to the feet of the King, then you're doing all right. All right? So let's explore a little bit about what we do with worry, or what Scripture says we should do with worry. So if you have your Bible, sorry, I don't even have a PowerPoint. That's what happens when the Lord pulls an audible on you. But Matthew 6, turn to it if you have a Bible. You've all read it, a lot. But Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And so let's just explore what God says about worry. How he wants us to live. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. This is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. We're not sure if it was one sermon Jesus did or a compilation that Matthew put together. But these are Jesus' words. And some scholars think that Jesus was speaking in parable. He didn't really mean it. But more evangelical scholars believe that he meant it. He meant what he said when he said, do not worry. I think that's possible. I think it's a high standard, and I only achieve it when I'm sitting on the beach somewhere. I believe it's possible. And so with Christ in us, he's saying to the people, with Christ in you, you're a new creation, that you don't live for your flesh anymore. You're a new creation, and here's how you live. So, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more important than, well, let me go back to what you will wear. Yes, Adele, it's more important than what you wear. sorry about that. Is life more important than food? The body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And here's the hard part. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? When I stand before the king, and we're all going to, when I stand before the king, I don't want him to look at me and think, O you of little faith. O you of little faith. I want him to look at me and say, well, here's a punk that tried to follow me. He really tried to follow me. Rather than trying to be somebody or feed my flesh or be powerful. And so when I read this, I felt like the Lord was, he wanted, that I just want to say that to you. Work to stand before the king so that you hear, wow, you tried to follow me. That's all he's asking. Not for you to be perfect, but that you tried to follow him and you sought him. And let's not be a people that hear, oh, you of little faith. Here we go. So, to not be people of little faith. So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. The pagans, just basic understanding of pagans. Basically, when you don't have Christ in you, you have no choice but to run to your flesh. If Christ isn't in you, you have no choice but to run to your flesh. And so he's saying, listen, I gave my life, I want a relationship with you. Christ is in us. And so with him in us, we have a choice. We don't have to just run to our flesh. We can run to him. We can rest at his feet. We can turn to him. And so here's what I want to challenge you with, and I'm going to challenge you four or five times before I'm done with this, that be aware of internal processes that are going on inside of you. Fear, anxiety, anger. Be aware of what's going on inside of you and be aware of where that turns you or motivates you to turn to. Does it motivate you like a pagan, independent of Christ, towards your flesh? Or does it motivate you to turn toward the king for help? I'm scared. I don't know what I'm doing. I need your wisdom, your knowledge, your energy, your protection. I turn to you, not toward my facade or my flesh. So we don't have to live like the pagans. So what does it look like to not live like the pagans? Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So there's kind of a cool promise in there that if we turn to him, I don't believe he's talking about things. I think he does want to bless us with things. But really he's talking about the peace that you long for. When you turn to him, that peace or rest for your soul, he'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. We don't have to strive to find it in our flesh. So let me read that again. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay, so I think you're a room full of Christians and people trying to seek him, so I think you're with me on that you want to live for the king, right? That you want to live a life where worry doesn't move you towards your flesh, but worry moves you toward the king. And so how do we do that? How do we, what things can we do to get ourselves in the position where instinctively we turn to him and not toward our flesh? Because the movement that we take socially and from the internal processes, it's instinctive. And so for you to just volitionally choose is an important thing for you to choose. I'm going to choose to turn to you, Father, instead of my flesh. But more often than not, your instinctive reaction is going to take over, and you'll find yourself running at your flesh first. And so how do we get ourselves in a position where our instinct is to turn to him? Make sense? Where our instinct is to turn to him. Simple things. I mean, not simple to do, but not profound things. So what shapes our instinct? Well, the first thing that shapes our instinct is prayer. It's prayer. There's something about talking with him, about spending time with him that realigns our flesh, that helps us to walk in faith. And so I want to encourage you, if prayer's a part of your life, great. If you know the Lord's saying, I'd like to spend more time with you, then just say okay to that. I'm not talking about a bunch of discipline stuff. I'm talking about you just in your heart saying, yeah, I'd like that too, Lord. I'd like to spend more time with you. And so if you feel him wooing you to spend more time with him, to talk with him, to wrestle with life with him, just say yes to him and let him realign your thinking. I want to give you a scripture about that process. So it's in Matthew again. I'm going to shut my Bible. Matthew 6, and in the same beatitude, Matthew 6, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. It's just, I think, Jesus wanting to lay before us that this is what prayer looks like, or one of the ways that prayer looks like. So it's, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. And so what I want to encourage you to do is just seek and knock in your life, rather than turning toward, I need this in my flesh in order for me to be at peace, for me to be somebody, for me to be liked, whatever that may be, for you to just proactively, before you're in that position, spend time seeking and knocking. Spend your day seeking and knocking. A line that it seems kind of cheesy, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to share it, and I've wrestled with him on it. Well, Lord, that's really cheesy, but I felt like he wanted me to tell you that the process he has you here at Barclay, he's not interested in you serving him. He's interested in you serving with him. He's not interested in you serving him. And this religion thing jumps on us, and we get all these shoulds. I should be doing this, and I should be doing that. And no, he wants you to live life with him. Not serve him, but live life with him. And so part of that living life with him is prayer, where we keep knocking and we keep seeking him. Make sense? Do you feel like that makes sense? I want to do that more. I want to knock. I want to seek rather than turn toward my flesh, rather than let worry drive me. I want to seek and knock. Okay, second area where something that we can do, I think, proactively to help us not let worry drive us to our flesh is the word. And I know this is a no-brainer, but so let's turn to first chapter of James. James chapter 1. And it's not a direct correlation to the written word, but I think we can make the connection. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James at this time was the leader of the council in Jerusalem. He was kind of the head of the church, and the church had been scattered. And so he wrote this book. He wanted to, those of you that are out there scattered, I know life is a bit crazy right now, and you're wondering what the church is doing. But let me just tell you a few key things to help you stay on track. And that's kind of the essence of the book of James. And so here's what he says in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. So it's a pretty cool promise there that if we're in the Word, that if we're letting the Word wash over us and read us and direct our lives, that we will be blessed. And so for that reason is the reason it's so hard to read the word. It's so hard to read the word because it meddles with our flesh. It messes with us. Our flesh doesn't like the word at all. Because the word tells us, here's how you can live, and that life brings freedom. But your flesh says, no, that's not it. It's all about you. It's all about you getting what you want, you getting your needs met. And so, being in the Word, reading it, hearing it, dialoguing about what the Word's speaking and what the Lord's speaking to you, helps us to, it renews our mind, and it renews our spirits, and it helps us to not be so controlled by our flesh. All right, makes sense? So I don't want you to get hit with, oh, here's another discipline that I have to do. But with an understanding of you want to hear, stand before him and hear, well done. You want to walk in your destiny, don't you? How many of you want to walk in your destiny? You want to be who the Father created you to be. So that's not going to happen by you dictating to your flesh or allowing worry to move you to your flesh. It's going to happen by you turning to the King. Prayer and being in the Word will help you to turn towards your flesh so that you can walk in your destiny. All right? Makes sense? I hope that the Lord is wooing you as I'm just laying this simple seek first the kingdom message out for you. I want to encourage you to say yes to Him. Yes, God, I want my destiny. I will embrace this time. I hate to say this because I had people say this when I was sitting in the pews, but it really is true that your job right now is to know the King. That's your job right now. He's given you this season to be here in Barkley, Kansas, Haviland, Kansas, where there aren't that many distractions. Because he wants to give you a season of just knowing him and seeking him. So all the stuff that takes you away from him, all the stuff that robs you of your time, I want to say resist that. Embrace this season to know the King, to seek him. Pray, ask Him to lead you and guide you and empower you. Be in the Word and let the Word meddle with your life. Follow what the Word's leading you to do more than what your flesh is leading you to do. Amen? Make sense? Feel doable? So here's what I want to do. If in your spirit you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to spend more time with you. I accept your invitation for us to talk more. And yes, Lord, I will be into your word, and I want to hear what you have to say to me about your word. If you feel the Lord wooing you, I want to do this cheesy little thing, but it really does kind of help us. If you're feeling that, I'd like to just pray over you and ask him to bless your yes, you saying yes to him. So if that's you, if you could just stand with me, if you feel him wooing you to more of him. And if you don't stand, that doesn't make you a dork. It does make you a sinner, but no. I know it wasn't a fair thing, but let me just pray. And please receive the Lord's... man, he just loves you guys. I'm telling you, he loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants for you to walk in your destiny. And so I want to pray that he would bless you, speak to you, protect you. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for this group of young adults that have said yes to you. God, you're who I want to know. You're who I want to serve. I lay my life down for you. And so, Father, I pray that you would help them to walk in a lifestyle that enables them to resist feeding their flesh. That they can resist turning toward comfort, but they can seek you. So, Father, may they have rich times of communication with you. Speak, Father, your love for them, your blessing for them. May they have rich times in your word where it just makes sense, where it leads their lives. I pray a blessing, Father, over the destiny on each one of these people. That their future, Father, may bring light to dark places. Thank you, Father. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks a ton.